I feel like our normal intro music is too like upbeat for this. So I was going to play.
Where do we go from here? This isn't where we intended to be.
It just seems more fitting.
You believed in me.
Anyway, so Mavs.
I mean, it's awesome that they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
It sucks that we've started off the bubble this way. The Houston loss really, really hurts because, I mean, you scored 150 points or something. You're up by 7 with 39 seconds to go. You're just torching them the entire game until the fourth quarter. And I understand Houston's defense is really good in clutch time, and the Mavericks' offense is, like, worst in the league, literally. Mm-hmm. And that's just a recipe for disaster. But you're up by 7 with 39 seconds. All you got to do, Seth, is just make both free throws. And it doesn't matter what kind of fury they throw out there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he missed it. And they made all the shots they needed. They got an offensive rebound that they needed. Everything went well for them, just like it's been for the Mavs all season long in late game situations. And then the last 2-minute report comes out. And of course, like it's done all season long, is that calls went against the Mavericks, as they always seem to do this year. It's incredible. I think 6 or 7 games that you can attribute losses directly to blown calls by the officiating.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And now, and it didn't change, you know, going into the bubble. It's 2 games in a row now.
Yeah.
The Suns game, I mean, honestly, the game was lost in the third quarter. When you're up by 12 or 13 points or whatever against the G League Suns, because Booker
and
is
Ayton
out.
Weren't
and
out Ayton, there. Yeah.
And Cameron Payne.
They literally had guys from the G League that they had signed.
And,
and
you let them punk you.
Yeah.
They came in and they punked you.
You know, it's not even, I hate doing this, like, it's not that they won, we let, whatever they did. It's like, they didn't win, we lost, or whatever it is. It's not like that, it's just that no one really played well outside of Luka and Porzingis. I think they had a combined, what was it at one point, they had a combined like 70 points.
They did.
Which means the rest of the team, the final 12 guys,
like 40.
Had 40 points.
Yeah.
Nobody really played well in this game. And I'm kind of like, I'm almost to the point where all of this is really frustrating to me, but at the same time, they can't hurt me anymore. Like,
you've been calloused.
I'm so numb to it that even after games, I'm like, eh. What are you going to do?
I mean, another thing that hurt tonight was that Rubio foul call. It just wasn't a foul call. I don't know what the ref was looking at. I don't know what happened in that situation. I was so confused. All I saw was Rubio decided he wanted to fall to the left and flop.
Yeah.
And they called the foul, and it was reviewed. But clearly on the review, there was no push-off. There was no foul. It should not have been called a foul. And unfortunately, it's called a foul.
Well, and what I don't get is, okay, they were actually reviewing a Porzingis foul, but then they said, okay, yeah, no foul. But also, you know what? While we were watching it, we noticed this other foul we're going to call that.
But even that one
that
wasn't
one
a
wasn't
foul.
A and I'm like, first of all, that wasn't a foul. And second of all, you can do that? Like, we can retroactively call fouls now? Like, I don't know if I'm okay with that.
It's unfortunate. And he makes both free throws, and then I don't know the heat that Luka's getting in this game. Like, the only reason they came back when we're in it was because of Luka. He had like 3 layups in the last 2 minutes or something to even bring him back in the game.
He had what, like 40 points,
yeah.
I think? And thought he played well.
But he's getting destroyed on Twitter because of that last
final play yeah.
that he passed out of Porzingis. But when you watch the replay, Mikal Bridges had really good position. It would have been a really bad shot attempt for Luka.
I thought that, so when he drove it, he like drove it and then stopped. And then at that point, he's in a really bad spot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why did you stop? Just lay in or, you know, something. But, you know, after that, then, the pass out to Porzingis was the right thing to do. So I don't know. I mean, it didn't go like ideally. But
he made
the right decision, I think, in the end.
I thought he drove it. Bridges had the position.
He cut him off.
Yes. Yeah. I thought he stopped because Bridges had gotten the correct position on him. And so Luka passed it out, and unfortunately, Porzingis missed.
Yeah.
You know, it was a contested shot as well. But if it wasn't for Luka or Porzingis, they wouldn't have been in this game. The other team, the rest of the team, you know what it comes down to?
What?
Is the Mavericks have two good players.
Yeah.
Seth is a nice role player, and it'd be great to come off the bench on a championship team. Hardaway, okay.
Well, the thing is, like we talk about, whenever Seth is on and Hardaway is on and Luka and Porzingis, when all of these guys are on, they are amazing. They're mm-hmm. they're an amazing team offensively, and you know, they're okay defensively. But the problem is that that is very rare. Like, and just think about it. Like Seth Curry, he can have games where he scores like 20, 25 points. But obviously he doesn't do that every night. Otherwise he would be a max player. Yeah. So just think about the status of Seth Curry. Like obviously he is not the kind of player that does that consistently. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the problem is he's in your starting lineup, and okay, that's fine. Not everyone's going to be an all-star, but then you also have Tim Hardaway Jr., who is kind of the same thing. Like mm-hmm. he can have games where he scores 30 points, or he can have tonight where he scores 2 points.
And to be fair, to be fair to Tim Hardaway, he actually has been pretty consistent this year. He's had very few games where he's done what he did tonight. But the thing is, and I'm not saying I don't like these players. It's just they're not good enough. And in order to be elite level teams, these guys have to be better. And Hardaway, he doesn't hit shots consistently enough when you need him to. He does not play any defense whatsoever. It's sometimes he's just his like feet are glued to the concrete and he just like watches the player go right by him. But really, that's what it comes down to. The Mavericks have two really good players. They're both very, very young. And I thought they played great tonight. They just didn't get any help whatsoever.
Well, and I think Harper made a good point. I don't remember the exact wording, but he basically said the Mavericks are a really young team, and at some point, they're going to have to learn how to close out these games, how to finish games. And right now, they just... They don't really know how to do that. Yeah. And I think that's totally normal. And maybe that's why this doesn't hurt me anymore, because at some point I just had to accept that they're a young team. Like all of these problems are symptomatic of a young team.
They're not going to win the championship this year.
Yeah.
They don't have a chance to win the championship.
No, I mean,
that's
not even a discussion.
But
like,
but, you know, so I don't know what our expectations are. Does it hurt when you watch it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you got to accept that this is the way it is. And then, and like, people are starting to hate on Luka. And I don't understand, like,
well, I
why.
Mean, and, like, on it, we've been critical of Luka in the past because he's, like, the step back threes, he would fall in love with them, or he would force it too often, or the complaining to the officials, which, you know, we could also talk about. But, like, we've been critical of that. And those things are still problems. But I guess just in this particular situation, I don't think it was his fault.
Oh, no. And the thing is...
But and my point is, I think I would feel comfortable saying that if I believed that it was, because we've been pretty honest about our feelings in the past.
Yeah, well, for me, I've always understood Luka's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year in the clutch, he was one of the best clutch players in the league. In fact, he won several games for mm-hmm. the Mavericks late in games. And has that translated this year? No, he's had some struggles, but the whole team has.
Yeah.
Another thing that has really hurt the Mavericks this year is, and I'm not going to blame the officials, but they have lost at least 5 games because of blatant blown calls by the officials. So, but yeah, their offense is worse in the league in the last 2 minutes. Another thing, like, people are also hating on Carlisle. Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the league.
I can't believe you're about to defend Carlisle.
Well, what I'm about to say is he the right coach for this team?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking because, so yes, I understand he led a veteran team and they won a championship, but this is a completely different team. Does that same style work for this team?
Okay, my response to that would be yes. Because I don't think like, I don't want to transition through coaches every 2 years.
No.
So, and not that that's what you want either, but I'm saying if you look at it as like, okay, they're a young team, we need a coach that works with that. Well, that just means in 2, 3, 4 years, you want Carlisle back because he's the perfect coach
that's true.
For that.
And like I said, I'm not saying I don't want Carlisle. I'm just saying, like, is he the guy? But obviously, Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah.
And the Mavs themselves believe he is the best coach in the league.
Yeah. Like, I'm past the wanting Carlisle to get fired. I think, one, because I know it's not going to happen. They've already said he's their Jerry Sloan. And also, yeah, I think he is a good coach, and who's the alternative? And it's just like,
sometimes it's hair pulling.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, and I think, like, I've gotten to a point where it's like, you know what? He's not perfect. He makes mistakes. And when he does, I'm going to get upset about it and call them out. But he's also a good coach.
The things I don't understand the last two games is DeLon Wright.
Yeah.
DeLon played 25 minutes tonight. He was a -8. And there was points in the and there's moments in the game where I'm like, why is he out there?
He was out there a lot.
He was out there for like the entire second half.
I felt like every time I was watching, he was
25 minutes is a lot of minutes, and he just doesn't do anything well. He does a lot of things okay,
and he has moments.
But
he lacks confidence.
And he was out there, and against the Rockets as well, he was out there for an extended period of time. And the whole time he's out there, he was a negative. Like, against the Rockets, they were up at one point by, like, 15 or something against the Rockets. He was a -10 plus minus.
Yeah.
So, like, he was that bad in that game where if he didn't play, maybe they go up by 25. But I don't understand tonight. Like, he was a non-factor the entire game. And another person that's really been struggling is Dorian.
Okay, so Dorian, all right, I've hated on Dorian in the past, and then I dug into it to see why the Mavs liked him so much, and, you know, published that on the site that's been there for a while, and found out, like, wow, he's actually a very good defender, and his three-point shot has improved. So I learned to appreciate him. But one weakness that he had is that anytime he puts the ball on the court, it's pretty much a turnover every time, and that was true back then, and it's still true now, except in the past, he didn't do it because obviously it's a turnover, and then that's not his strength. But now I feel like
in the last two games,
bubble games, he's been putting it on the court, on the floor a lot. And I'm like, who told him to do that? Because that is not his game.
It's like in the late game here, I know he hit the three, but the one where he walked into it, I'm like, what are you doing? You better be glad.
You better be glad you made that.
Because that was a terrible shot, and I don't want you ever doing that again.
And then he had that flagrant on DeAndre Ayton.
Yes,
and
really
I don't know
them.
What that was, because he looked like he was mad. He said, like, you know, he pushed me or whatever. But they played it several times, and I never saw anything.
I think it was fake toughness. I think he was trying to be tough and trying to not back down to help with the Mavs mentality, because their defense is just non-existent. And people are like, well, Porzingis isn't protecting the rim. He can't even get there.
Yeah.
But by the time he turns around, the guy went right past Tim Hardaway or Seth Curry or Luka, and it's like, what do you want Porzingis to do?
Yeah, the thing is, this team is not built for defense, and that's just a fact. Like, they're not going to be a good defensive team, because look at who's on their perimeter. Luka, Curry, and Hardaway. Or, you know, maybe Finney Smith, depending on who he's guarding. But, like, those are your perimeter guys. Like, they're just not going to be a good defensive team, which means, like, yeah, Kristaps, he's going to have his hands full.
I mean, he had, like, 4 blocks or something. It's like, when he's there, he gets the block.
Yeah,
but, like,
he can affect it.
He can't get over there quick enough. The guys get blown by so quick.
I remember this was a conversation the second time the Mavs had Tyson Chandler. And at one point, like, the Mavs defense was not what we thought it would be with Tyson. And we were like, what the heck? We brought in Tyson. And then somebody was like, well, I mean, they don't have the perimeter defenders
Jason Kidd.
Yeah, the first time Tyson was here. Yeah, Sean Marion, Jason Kidd, DeSean Stephenson. Those guys aren't there. Instead, it was whoever else, Monte and Chandler Parsons. So, obviously everybody's going
to... And an old Dirk.
Yeah, so he can only do so much. And I think it's the same with Kristaps. I mean, honestly, there's just... This team has a lot of flaws, and all of them, like, when you look at it through that lens, it kind of makes sense that they would have these colossal collapses, because they're not built to be a good defensive team. They're a very young team, which means execution and clutch situations are going to be difficult. The, you know, complaining to the refs and all that stuff. Like, there's just some realities that you kind of have to accept. And
but they should have won this game.
Yeah, they should have won this game.
They're a better team than the Suns. And the Suns looked like a better coach team. And I'm not saying that.
I got
Carlisle, it tends to take him about 10 games to figure out what
more,
to do.
Usually
the start of every season, they start like 2-7
yeah,
or whatever, because he's got to play DeLon 25 minutes to make sure that's not the right thing to do. And it's like, I feel like he started that again with the bubble, the start of the season again. Yeah. And it's like, so he's taking his time to figure out. It's like, dude, there's only 8 games. So it's like,
well, and it's just, you know, without Brunson and Courtney Lee and Dwight Powell and Willie Cauley-Stein. And
but what I don't understand is what did Trey Burke do wrong to not play him more than 30 seconds in the first half?
He played 12 minutes in this game.
And I just don't understand, especially this team.
And look, he had whatever, 30 points or whatever in the last game. I know he's not going to do that every game. I'm not saying he should play more because I think he's going to do that. I'm just saying I think he earned another look.
He deserved a shot.
Yeah, like another look. Like, say, hey, all right, what can you do in game two?
And I don't understand. Like, he played 30 seconds in the first half.
Yeah.
Or something ridiculous like that. I'm like, I don't understand. What did he do wrong?
Well, and like, what did DeLon do right?
That's what I don't understand. Like, why are we playing DeLon all these minutes?
Yeah.
And Trey Burke is just sitting over there, you know, drooling out of the mouth because he's brain dead.
Yeah.
And I just, that's the kind of stuff with Carlisle that's so frustrating. It's like you're pulling your hair out. It's like, dude, the obvious is staring at you right in the face.
Yeah.
But you got to try everything else 400 times before you actually make the obvious decision.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's like he has to prove that this other thing just absolutely will not work before doing the obvious thing.
And like with Trey Burke, I felt like he earned more minutes, and DeLon
did not.
No, like, that's 2 games in a row. Okay, I'm not saying that DeLon isn't good. You can have 2 bad games in a row, but when a guy's having a bad game, you just don't play him.
Yeah,
that game, and this one is like, no, we're gonna keep DeLon out there. And it's like, what are you seeing that we're not? Because I see a guy that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
This is who they are.
Yeah, I think. So part of it right now is I think I just accepted that. And so the Rockets loss after that, we didn't do a pod. We went for a walk because
it was frustrating.
Yeah, we needed to go for a walk. But even then, I wasn't actually really that frustrated. And then
I was.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, I was on Twitter and it was like flaming out there. And then after this one, it's kind of the same thing. But I don't know. For me, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like,
I mean,
you know, they're a young team and they suck on defense and they've had all these problems the whole season.
But even
so it's like, okay.
Even being a young team, you should be able to beat the Suns consistently.
Yeah.
And they have like a losing record to the Suns the last couple
seasons. It's so weird.
And it's annoying because, you know, Suns fans are like, see, Ayton was the right pick.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just shut up.
No.
Okay.
Wait, do people actually say that?
I hope not. Okay. I was just being a dumb Suns fan. But yeah. You got to win these kind of games, and it's frustrating, but it is what it is. You got to move on. Let's hope Carlisle figures something out. Let's hope DeLon figures something out, and let's hope Tim Hardaway and Seth Curry can have a good game at the same time for once.
And more than one. Game.
Like,
Okay, so the other problem, like, that's just, you know, it's just there, and you kind of have to accept it, is that the roster just is not good enough.
That's what I was saying earlier, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, all these guys on their own, like, Tim Hardaway Jr. is not awful. He is a decent player. And Seth Curry, same thing. Maxey is pretty good. You have Boban and Dorian Finney-Smith, who's a good defender. But the problem is that all of these guys, or you know, most of those guys, are starting. And I think on a very good / championship team, I know that sounds so far down the road, but the point is we're making
the
connection.
The roster.
Yeah. Like, those guys just aren't good enough for all of them to be starting on a very good team. Like, Seth Curry, on a playoff or elite team is probably coming off the, but either Seth Curry or Hardaway Jr. are sixth men on an elite or championship team. But you have both those guys starting. And Dorian, I don't even know what kind of minutes he gets on a championship team. And it's not that these guys suck. It's just, you know, the level of talent on an elite team is so high that these guys, you know, they would have a hard time. So it's like, that's the other thing. It's like this roster is just not good enough to compete at the level that we want them. And it's like going into games, I want to believe like, yeah, we can beat the Rockets. But the reality is, no, they're just not good enough.
They were, though. And that was what was frustrating. They were beating the Rockets. But yes, at the late game situation. Winning, yes. Yeah. The thing is, in my opinion, Tim Hardaway is a player you just don't want to touch. He's too good to come off the bench. He's not good enough to be a starter on a playoff team. And do you do with that? You just move on. Let him go.
What does that mean? Like, that, too good to come off the bench, but not good enough to start? That means he comes off the bench and he's a sixth man of
but
the year.
No, but it doesn't translate for him.
Well, okay.
When he came off the bench.
That just means he doesn't want to accept that.
Perhaps. Yeah. Whatever reason, he doesn't perform well coming off the bench.
Oh, okay. So not
he's got to start.
Yeah. He just doesn't have the same mindset.
And a team is going to offer him money. Just walk away. I mean, honestly, let him go.
Yeah.
Let him go. Do a sign and trade something. There is no need to take that money. He is a really good shooter, and he's averaging like 16 points a game for you, but you don't want to overpay for that. Mm-hmm. And you don't want him to be a starter. If he is going to be a starter, he's got to be like your fifth worst player on your starting line.
Yeah. What about Seth Curry?
Seth, I think, is a guy that come off the bench.
But can he do that? Like, does he play well when he comes off the bench?
I think so. I mean, his entire career, he's come off the bench. The only time he's ever started has been here in Dallas.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the roster. And honestly, in 3 years, chances are the only people on this team remaining are Dirk. are Luka and Porzingis.
Let it go.
Luka and Porzingis. And they played really well tonight.
They did.
We have to be really happy because Porzingis is really coming around now. Like, yeah. This is like 20 games in a row now. He's averaged like over 25 points a game.
Yeah, he had 30 points, 8 rebounds.
And they were very impactful points. Like he hit shots when you needed him to hit shots. He really played well. And Luka really played well. Only shot 3 threes, which I think is saying something.
Was he 0 for 3?
Yes.
Okay.
One, he's losing confidence in his 3-point shot, which is not a good thing. I know people are like, he needs to stop shooting. No, you need him to be confident in his shot.
Okay, because we talked about how he needs to stop.
I doubt Luka listens to us.
Hey, you know.
He does not listen to
us.
Two, it shows that he is learning. He doesn't have to shoot as much. But in my opinion, I want Luka shooting threes, but shooting the right time.
I just want him to force it. Yeah.
Right. Rhythm shot. His step back, when it's in rhythm. And the rhythm of the game, it's beautiful. And it's unstoppable. Yeah. But sometimes he just reverts to a step back. And it's like, dude, you can get through the rim anytime you want.
Yeah. I was going to say, Porzingis. I also like his leadership. He seems to have some leadership skills. Now, I don't know what it's like in the locker room. But when he's doing interviews, at least, I like the things he says. Like, after the Rockets game, he said a lot of really tough things. One thing that he mentioned was a complaining about the officiating. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that as fans. In fact, it was exactly what Kristaps said. As a fan, it's not enjoyable to watch a player complain about calls the entire game. And it's like, thank you. That is so true. Thank you for saying that. And every NBA player does it. But, you know, we were talking about, it's kind of obvious that Luka is the one that does that more.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, I felt like, I don't know, Luka kind of did a little better with it. I don't think it's gone by any means. He might just be that kind of player his whole career. But it's like, it's kind of these little things that I like how Porzingis, he's okay with admitting that. Not just saying like, yeah, we just need to get better on defense or whatever. But he says like specific things, we need to work on this. And then I feel like the next game, they actually do better at it.
Yeah, the thing with Luka is, Every superstar in the history of the NBA was a complainer to the refs. they just complained about officiating, and they would be always talking to the refs and doing and saying, "Hey, he's doing this to me. He's Dirk did it. Tim Duncan did it. Kobe did it." They all do it. The problem with Luka is he allows it to get to him.
Oh yeah, and yeah,
his,
that's true.
It affects his game. He's got to get to a point where it doesn't affect his play on the court, and that's what it does right now. Mm-hmm. He's gonna complain. Complain away. I don't give a crap. But just don't let it affect your play. And that's what kind of, to me, what I think it affects the Mavs fans is we can visibly see it affect his play on the court.
Yeah, that's
true. It's like,
true.
Dude, stop complaining and run down the court.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do that right now. So once he gets to a point, and again, he's 21, there's so much he has to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely one of them. But you're right. Porzingis called it out. And I honestly think it was a direct comment towards Luka because he clearly is the visible one on the team complaining.
Yeah. So I kind of like that. Then I felt like Porzingis played well in this game. He kind of backed it up. I don't really have a whole lot more to say about this game because it's, you know,
it's done.
It is what it is. Like, it just
they're gonna go out in the first round.
Yeah. And I think it's like, again, because I've accepted that stuff like this, it's like, well, you know, this is not surprising.
It hurts. Well, it's surprising to lose to the Suns because if you're a playoff team, you should beat the Suns.
I don't know why I'm so numb to it now. I'm kind of just like
that last game, the Rockets. I don't know. I still don't like watching them lose. Even you know, the Rockets or the Bucks or the Lakers. Okay, they're a better team than you.
Yeah,
the Suns. Like, and not only that, the Suns G League affiliate.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't even the actual Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
You know, there was the players that are fighting for a spot on the roster for next year.
I mean, not only, like, just in general, the Suns have guys from the G League. But then it gets even worse whenever Booker and Ayton are on the bench for 10 minutes. And that's when they made their comeback.
I know. That Cameron Payne was screaming and hollering. Yeah. And
which,
you know.
I mean, then he sucked from that point on. And I was like, well, that's why you don't get too ahead of yourself, bro.
But he brought him back.
Yeah, well, yeah,
it,
with
it
those
brought
two
him back,
shots.
Took the lead, and then the Mavericks, they didn't know what to do because they got punked.
One highlight, the Luka pass, the, like, full court pass to Kristaps in
to
the
Boban.
Post.
It was
Boban. Oh, it was Boban.
Yes, it was
Boban. It was Boban in the post. That was a very underrated pass.
Another thing, why did Boban only play 6 minutes?
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about the Boban thing.
Like,
it's like, and it was
Trey Burke and Boban.
Yeah.
Were awesome.
And like, do we even want to talk about the Rockets rebound? No.
No.
I mean, it's
because that was Maxey's fault. Like, Boban, you could have brought in. Okay, I understand that. But at what point do you expect Maxey to block out a
get
guy?
Get a rebound.
You know, like, I mean, come on. That's not all Carlisle's fault. He had 2 7-footers in there.
Well,
against 2 6'6" guys.
Yeah, I mean.
And Maxey's like,
okay.
Huh?
I mean, I guess you're right. However, barring all of that, why not bring Boban?
I guarantee you Boban will be in next time because that was Maxey's shot.
Well, that happened in the previous, whatever it was this season, whenever this exact same thing happened and Mavs fans were livid. And then the very next situation, Carlisle brought in Boban, even though he hadn't played the entire game. And so
it's just Maxey, you he's 6'6".
Yeah.
And you're 7 foot or 6'11".
Yeah.
Just box the guy out. Don't stare at the freaking basket. It's time for bed.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
maybe,
late.
Maybe I'm tired. I don't know. I don't feel.
You're not feeling it.
Well, and also, I am kind of numb to this stuff. Like, it just doesn't bother me anymore.
That's why I said I tweeted in the last game, I wish the season never came back.
Because a lot of people said that. I saw a lot of people on Twitter.
I don't think we realized how blissfully we had it. Like, we were
blissfully ignorant. We got to end on a win.
No anxiety, no
stressful
nights.
Boban had a career night.
And then the first game back, we're like, oh, yeah.
This again.
Every game the Mavericks had when they were up late in the game, it was going to be a nail biter. It didn't matter if they were up by 20. Yeah. You knew it was going to be a last possession game.
Well,
and
like, I don't know why I expected it to be different when they came back, but it was things like the terrible officiating or the Lakers getting all of the calls or teams being
that started off in the first first game, or
teams being extremely physical with their defense and getting away with it and getting in Luka's head, and the crunch time offensive woes and all this stuff that was the same. I don't know why I expected it to be different, and then when it started again, I was like,
oh
yeah. And I think when I saw that, I was like, you know what, this isn't gonna change this year, so I'm just gonna let it go.
But the officiating has been terrible for all teams. Like tonight, let's be honest, the Suns got some terrible calls against them.
Yeah,
like it was they just did. There were it was some terrible
calls. Yeah, because you know, I feel like I'm pretty fair with my opinion of foul calls just in every game. But yeah, watching this game, we were like, I don't think that was a foul. Yeah, it's
like, come on. Like, and then not only that, it was embarrassing. Every time down the court, I know, they were blowing their whistle.
Whistle.
I was like, some of these are really questionable. Yeah, you know?
And like some of them, and I think Harper or Folawell said the same thing, like, they don't usually call that. No. Like, yeah, technically that's a foul, but they don't really ever call that.
And it culminates all the way till the last minute of the game where they even reviewed it. They watched a replay and they're like, "Nah, that's a foul." It's like, what are you?
What are you?
Where's
seeing?
The foul?
You're talking about the Dorian thing.
Yes,
on
like
Ricky
okay,
Rubio.
I understand.
He had his hand on
was
him,
touching him.
Yeah,
that's not a foul.
But
like,
well,
he didn't extend.
Yeah,
he didn't
and that's the
grab.
Thing. It's like, where do we draw the line here? Because if that's the rule, then a guy, anytime another guy has his hand on him,
it's a foul.
He can just fall to the left. And it's a foul now because his hand was right there. It's like you have to, you know, play some common sense or just
and I feel like
here.
The replay clearly showed Rubio flopped.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly, it shows he should have went 6 inches to the left. Instead, he went 20 feet.
Yeah.
And it's like the replay showed.
Meanwhile, Dorian's arm does
didn't
not move at all.
And it's just like,
it's there. And then suddenly there's just air.
How are you going to watch the replay and still get it wrong?
Yeah. And also, but seriously though, can they retroactively call fouls now? Like, can they review another foul call?
I think so.
And while they're watching it, see something random and call that? Like, I didn't know they could do that.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think that's it. This is only our second podcast after the hiatus, so I feel like we're also getting our rhythm back in addition to the Mavericks. So anyways, share your thoughts on Twitter. I'm @_SydneyMyers. The show on Twitter is @DallasHoopsCast. The website is DallasHoopsCast.com. Let us know what you guys thought of the game or of the team. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys later. Bye.